You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring anyone who wants to listen to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined every week, thanks be to God, by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live today from Maryville, Tennessee. We are indeed blessed. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. It's the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, Mother, why wouldn't we not have this supplication to Our Lady so that her lessons will be understood, that we may put them into practice? You know, we're called to emulate Our Lady so that she may drive us into the bosom of her Son. Article 507 of our Catholic Catechism states, quote, "At once Mary is the symbol and the perfect realization of the Church," end quote. How could we not want to emulate ourselves after Our Lady? Mother?
Yeah, what a beautiful gift God has given to us through Our Lady. I mean, to let her be our mother, you know, what a great grace. She is the mediatrix of all graces. She is a co-redemptrix. She suffered very much everything Jesus suffered in a mystical way, you know, and she's wanting us to live in His divine will more than we want it. She's a loving mother. She'll do anything to try to get us there. You just have to desire her grace, the grace that God wants to give you through her. You know, ask Our Lady to take you by the hand to lead her closer to her Son, Jesus. She wants to do that. She just wants you to ask. You know, heaven doesn't push themselves on us. They want us to invite them, to ask them, right. You know. And so Our Lady's there for us. She's our loving mother. She's rooting us on. She will, you know, do anything for us. Our Lord cannot say no to His mother. You desire to live in His divine will. Read the book of Our Lady. It's a book, the book for a month of May. And there's another book, I think, of Our Lady. You read those passages that our Lord speaks specifically about Our Lady, but that book in the month of May, you can read all year. I used to read every morning all year. I haven't been reading it lately, but I need to get back to it.
Mother, is that the prodigies of our Blessed Mother?
Prodigies of the Blessed Mother, yes, okay. Another book of Our Lady, yeah, prodigies. But okay. The book in the month of May, every time you read it, even though it's you know, you read it over and over again. It's repetitious, yes, but it's bringing you closer and closer to realizing that Our Lady is your mother, and she wants you to get you there. She wants you to live totally in God's divine will. So I encourage everybody, just read that book, even if you read it every day or maybe a couple of times a week, so that it recalls that message to you that Our Lady is your mother, and she's wanting to get us close and closer to God. Also the prodigies, you can read the prodigies. That's beautiful. But what a beautiful, lovely creature God has given us in Our Lady. So we have to thank Him for that. I was just reading here about suffering, resignation. You know, everybody suffers. We all have opportunities every day to for some little crosses. And I was just realizing, you know, how when we resign to whatever happens, realizing it's a gift from God. He's trying to bring us higher and higher in the spiritual life. So every little cross, every little inconvenience, if we realize it's a hand of God allowing something better for us, it's a gift. The cross is a great gift. We don't realize the value of the cross. Louisa did. Many of the saints did. But these little itty pricks you get all day long, maybe it's inconvenience, maybe it's a disagreement with somebody else. If you say, thank you, Jesus, for this little cross and be resigned to it, don't let your pride stick out so much that you have to defend yourself and you have to be right. You know, just let it go and realize God is trying to teach me to grow in humility, to realize my nothingness. I was just reading in volume six, March 16th, 1904, says, my daughter, among the many titles that the cross has, it has a title of feast day, because when one receives a gift, what happens? One makes feasts, rejoices, and is more content. Now, since the cross is the most precious, the noblest gift, and is given by the greatest and most unique person that exists, it is more pleasing and brings more feast, more gladness than all other gifts. So you yourself can say, what other titles can be given to the cross? And I, as you say, it can be said that the cross is festive, jubilant, joyful, desiring. And he, our Lord, said, good, you spoke well. However, the soul comes to experience these effects of the cross when she is perfectly resigned to my will and has given all of herself to me without keeping anything for herself. And I, so as not to be surpassed in love by the creature, give her all of myself, and in giving myself, I also give my cross. And the soul, recognizing it as my gift, makes feast and enjoys. So we should be jumping for joy when we have sufferings, inconveniences, things not going our way. If you realize, you know, life is so short, even if you live 100 years, it's just a drop in a bucket compared to eternity. We have one stab at what is our eternity going to be like. To live totally in his divine will is to have a glorious eternity, of course. And that's what we're seeking and striving for, to live more and more in his divine will. But we can't if we don't accept all the little crosses that he sends, being resigned to that, accepting it with love and gratitude and grace. God is constantly trying to teach us. Do we take the lesson in every little opportunity we have through the day? Maybe you're tired when you wake up in the morning. That's a little cross, a tiny little cross. But you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm tired. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to die to myself, to realize I must get up, get ready, go to work, whatever you have to do. You may have someone that you have problems with, someone you don't get along with. It might be in your working situation. It may be at home. To thank God for that person, to love, see Christ in that person, to thank God for the opportunity to die to yourself. All these little opportunities are opportunities to help us grow, get higher and higher in the ladder of holiness. So we're always being tested. You can either pass the test or fail the test. You know, I used to tell the sisters, you know, we call this Mary Seal, Kindergarten of Divine Will. Well, we're all in the kindergarten in the spiritual life, and we're always being formed. I don't care how long we are in religious life, we're still being formed until the day we die. We're still being transformed and becoming more and more like Christ, hopefully. So, you know, but only way we can get there is we get there faster is if we accept every opportunity that comes our way. If we pass the test, whether it's to be a practice of patience, somebody's making you feel very impatient, but you die to yourself and you treat that person with great patience, you have gone higher in the ladder of holiness. You have grown in that virtue of patience. Whether it's charity, somebody saying something negative about someone else to you and you keep your mouth shut, or you say something good about that person, you have risen again a little higher notch in the virtue of charity. So God is allowing us to have these opportunities to be tested. We stay in the kindergarten for a long time if we keep failing the test. If we pass the test, then we go on to first grade, and our Lord can test us in another area. We pass those tests. Eventually, we get to graduate school. We go to college in the spiritual life. Then we pass all those tests. We go into graduate school. Then you work on your doctorate. And then, in the end, in heaven, you become a doctor of the church in heaven's eyes as you reach that goal of perfect sanctity and denial of yourself and all these little things that God's given you as opportunities to grow in your love for him. So we're constantly being challenged. We're constantly being given these opportunities. If you think of them in the right way, it's easy. You know, like I said last week, I think on one of the programs, you know, inch by inch, holiness is a cinch, yard by yard, holiness is your heart. Well, if every little moment, inch by inch, you accept all the, even the prick on the finger, accept that as a little tiny cross, say, I love you, that becomes a big thing in the eyes of heaven, in the eyes of God. If you do it in divine will, Jesus, come suffer this little inconvenience in me. Come and suffer this pain in me. Come and suffer this disagreement in me that I'm struggling with. If somebody disagreed with me and I'm struggling with that because of my pride, teach me humility. So there's all kinds of ways that we can help to sanctify the present moment. You know, Mother Angelica used to call it the sacrament of the present moment. Every present moment, God is bringing you something for you to grow in greater holiness. So don't miss the opportunity. See everything as opportunity, and you become a saint in no time at all. Doesn't take long to become a saint if you don't miss the opportunities. But it's the way we think. You know, we start looking for the opportunities. Look for the opportunities. You know, what is God speaking? He's telling me right now in this moment. And it's a way of thinking of God always. To live in his divine will, we need to think of him always. We call him into all of our activities. Well, yes, but we can also say, Lord, in this opportunity, what are you trying to teach me? I want to give my fiat. I want to die to myself in this moment. I want to grow in humility in this moment. And then after you grow in humility, you grow into your nothingness, realizing you can do nothing without him. On the side of God, we are nothing. You know, and great God's greatness is so immense that we can't imagine who and what God is in this life. But if we did, we'd die of joy. He hides it from us so that we can continue to live. Even when you receive the Eucharist, if you realize who he is in the Eucharist, you would die of joy. You couldn't live. Happened to little Blessed Imelda. She used to tell the sisters that she lived with. She hadn't made her first communion yet. She was like 9 or 10 years old. And she used to say, how can you receive Jesus and continue to live? And because she understood, God gave her a special grace to understand the reality of his real presence. And so one day, the host left the hands of the priest after the consecration and was suspended in the air above Imelda at Mass. And so he knew that Jesus wanted to come to her. He gave Blessed Imelda the Eucharist. She fell on the floor. The sisters thought she was in ecstasy, but she had died. And so that's little Blessed Imelda who died receiving our Lord because she realized his magnificent presence in the Eucharist. Jesus gave her that opportunity, that grace to understand his real presence. He hides that from us because we would not be able to live. Everybody would be dying when they received communion. People would be afraid to go to communion then, you know, if we all would realize his real presence. So it is immense what you receive at communion. Just, you know, meditate on his presence. And when you go to communion, spend time in thanksgiving, which we spend 20 minutes in thanksgiving after communion here. But it's good to do that. Don't just run out of the church. I know the priest usually makes all kinds of announcements after Mass, which I just close my eyes and I try to zoom out so I could just think of what I just received. I just received Jesus. I would prefer them making their announcements at before Mass or at when they give the homily. But, you know, it's always after Mass when you just receive Eucharist and you're trying to meditate on our Lord's presence. Sometimes even the music can be distracting, you know. So, but to try to be silent with our Lord after communion will help you grow and realize in his real presence and realize he's making love to you. He's making love to you at that moment. And he wants you to realize that he's there and he loves you and he wants you to embrace him and love him back.
Yeah, that's so important when you said about everything that may appear to be not good is an opportunity. It's not necessarily an obstacle, although the world may consider it an obstacle, but it's an opportunity. And I think, Mother, it's when we start to look at it, like you said, in a different way. Again, the divine will is a paradigm shift. It really is. And I mean, you're talking about the cross. I mean, volume 5, Jesus tells the same thing. He says, since the cross is the most precious and noblest gift, how can a cross be the most precious and noblest gift? Again, because it's going to redirect us. God's mysterious permissible will is such a mystery that we don't know why it occurs or when it occurs or to what extent it occurs, but we do know that God promises that he will not allow that event or that situation to occur in our lives unless he's going to bring about a greater good of it. And again, that might not be immediately like you've spoken over the week, so Mother. It might be tomorrow, it might be next week, it might be next year. We may never see it, but rest assured, be confident, have that certitude that it's going to happen, it's going to be positive, and basically go with the flow. I think, Mother, I think the first thing we need to do to have that paradigm shift is we need to look in the mirror and say, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not even close to perfect. And I shouldn't get upset when I drop that cup of tea, when I spill that glass of water, when I knock over that vase. As long as I didn't do it intentionally, Lord, I'm not perfect. And you help remind me of that each and every day. And when we do that, I think we can come to our Lord with a greater degree of humility and gratitude. Remember, Jesus said ingratitude was one of his biggest pains in his humanity. Nobody said thank you. The 10 lepers. One came back and said thank you. Weren't there 10 healed? Where are the other 9? And that goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. I think we can make up for that ingratitude just by thanking Jesus for everything, especially the small things which we receive in abundance.
Yeah, he continues his redemptive suffering in us, and especially victim souls, that our Lord gives them the grace and the gift to suffer immensely, and they need special graces for that. But they are continuing his redemptive suffering. He has left. He's done his suffering over, but he could suffer within us. We call him into our crosses and our sufferings. It's really Jesus within us that's doing it within us in divine will. And so he helps you. He gives you the grace. And when you do that, when you call him into your suffering, the suffering is not as difficult. It's not as painful, because there's a reason behind it. You know that it's a gift, and that it's bearing good fruit in your life and the lives of others. So it's easier to bear it when you know that it's accomplishing a greater good for many people throughout the world, perhaps. And when you do it in divine will, ask Jesus to do it, it is immense. It's immense. And he goes around the world to touch every heart and every soul who's open to that grace to be transformed by his presence.
Amen. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hello, how are you?
Everything's well, thanks be to God.
Mother was talking about this little crosses that we have to accept in our life in every moment. And she also said about the victim soul. And the passage that I read from volume 1, it really goes along well with what just Mother said. This is from volume 1, and there's no date. This is when Luisa just started, her role as the victim soul. And she was only 16 years old when Jesus asked, her to be the victim soul. And so he asked her, to be the victim soul, to recompense, to atone all the sins, and to appease God's anger, God's justice. So he gave her the crown of thorns, and it was pricking her eyes, her ears, her neck, and even inside of her mouth. And because of that pain, she wasn't able to open her mouth and eat. But then not only that, she had to suffer, this physical sufferings that Jesus gave to her for the atonement of the sins, but she also had to suffer those that are caused by her family, because her family thought that, because she's doing that, she's not eating it because she doesn't want to stay in the country. And because of that, her suffering was really immense. And she always prayed to God, prayed to Jesus not to be seen by her family when she is suffering. But she was surrounded by her family. And even like the family brought her to the doctor, and the doctor gave us some kind of treatments to go for a walk or to have a cold shower, like to take a rest. And everybody was like all eyes on her. Like they wouldn't allow her to go to the church. She wasn't able to receive the sacrament. Like somebody, forced her or like watched her, whether she's taking the medicine, and somebody was watching her overnight. And then like she complained to the Lord, like, I am so bothered. Like I'm so suffering so much, and I cannot do anything. I don't have my freedom to suffer for you. And Jesus said that, don't mind everybody, just focus on honoring God, to respect and to atone all the sins that are committed. And also think of all the souls that are losing, that are lost. And he said, I'm using everything, all the means to make you imitate, to become more like God. And he said, do not be afraid. He said, just abandon yourself in my arms, and do not even care what they are saying or how they are treating you. Otherwise I cannot freely act in your soul. He said, whether it's coming from the devil, whether that's coming from the family members, I'm using everything for the greater good for your soul. And he said, I really like place all the situations in your life, like according in his divine will, because so that she can reach, you know, the state, the ultimate state that Jesus chose her to be. That's how, you know, Jesus God is allowing everything in our life, you know, any difficult situations or with people or family members or friends that we are, you know, that we are encountering every day. But he said, don't think about anything, but just stay in calm, in silence, and always try to be nice to everyone and be obedient. And that way, you know, our life, our thoughts, our heartbeats, our breath, and our affections can be a continuous acts of reparation. And he said, also offer those annoyance, this bothering that you're feeling, offer them to God. And then that's gonna appease God's anger. So God, even those things that we think it's not good for offering to God, he uses everything. And when we just transfer, change everything, those little, you know, sufferings and crosses in our life into pray to praise God, to give him glory, then he's gonna receive it as a treasure. So even like Jesus, he was suffering from all the people because they had different opinions, and they said they consider what he is doing as, you know, not holy, something wrong. And and somebody even said he was possessed by the devil, and there were some people that were doubting Jesus and even wasn't happy like his presence, and even some people try to kill him. But Jesus just stayed he just abandoned himself in the will of God. And that is why God is allowing everything in our life so that we can participate in his passion, in his suffering, so that we can become more like God, to be to his imitator. So we got to accept everything in love of God, just remembering that he's doing everything for our good.
What a great, you know, again, we didn't plan this dialogue between the cross and the sacrament, the Eucharist, and the efficacy of all of this. It comes about, thanks be to God. But, you know, Mother, it's all such good. See, we have to talk about this because many times we hear it in an abstract. But see, I think God, through his divine will and through the book of heaven, has made everything easy for us. And easy, what I mean, like, for example, how could he say in volume 16 that this gift is available to everyone? He had to make it, quote, easy and accessible and available to all. How could he do that unless it is simple? If it was just for the learned, well, then that would exclude a great part of humanity. If it was just for the unlearned, then it would exclude. I mean, to be universal, to be Catholic, it had to be simple, that everyone through the grace of God can receive it. Just a quick thought on that before we go into the break, Mother.
It is very simple. God is simple. God's not complicated. And I know the people that understand the divine will are usually simple people, intelligent, but simple people. I mean, the most brilliant people I've known are simple because they know enough to know they don't know anything. So it helps them grow in humility. Mother Angelica used to say some people are educated beyond their intelligence, because sometimes there's pride that comes with our education. We think we know it all because we've been educated or whatever. But, you know, as we come to realize we don't know it all, and we know peanuts on the side of God, he knows everything. Can you imagine? God is aware of every person, every moment, all the time. And he knows your innermost thoughts. He knows your motives better than you do. God is brilliant. God is smart. Why do we think we're smart? You know, we know nothing compared on the side of God. You know, so we have to grow in our simplicity and have simple hearts, knowing that this is really simple. The more you read it, the simpler it gets. Every time I read it, it's more simple and more simple. You know, even children can understand this, you know, because God's doing it all for us. We just have to have the desire. We have to have the desire, and we have to want to live in his will. which is not always easy. But if you call him into all your activities, living in his will becomes easier, because then he's doing his will in you, which makes it easier for you to be resigned at the present moment to whatever his will may be for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we're having this beautiful, beautiful dialogue. And while we were having it, I was thumbing through something. Again, that doesn't mean I wasn't listening intently to all your comments. I really was. But I was thumbing through some, and I was looking at Father Nuzzi's dissertation. And I came across a little section here where Father gives a summary. It's called The Grace of the Cross. And I think it ties everything together. What we've talked about this first half of the program, I'd like to go into the break with this. Quote, Louisa makes it abundantly clear that whatever grace and virtues the soul procures acquire their efficacy from the cross of Jesus Christ, and that the reception of the sacrament is rendered fruitful by the cross. The soul's participation in the cross of Christ acts as a sacramental insofar as it disposes the soul to patience, renders it transparent, engenders self-knowledge, and enables it to absorb the divinity. As on a transparent object, one may immediately detect dust and little stains. So in rendering the soul transparent, the soul immediately reveals its defects and the slightest imperfections, absorbs the divinity into the soul, and makes it a model of Jesus's humanity. Louisa affirms that in so much as the cross renders the soul's reception of the sacraments fruitful, its efficacy surpasses that of the sacraments. Indeed, the cross properly disposes the soul for the fruitful reception of the sacramental grace of communion. End quote. It's not too good to be true. It is true. We finally arrived. Mother, do you want to say something before the break quickly?
You said we finally arrived, and we're so grateful that we have arrived and we're alive at this time in history so that we can have this beautiful gift of living in his most holy divine will.
Couldn't have said it better. We're going back to the other side. Thank you, Mother. Finally. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to this, the School of Mary. Some important housekeeping here. I just want to make sure that everyone recognizes and is aware that upcoming is the Lenten Mariathon here at Radio Maria, and that begins on February 26th and runs to March 1st. So less than four weeks away. So please, if you're planning on any big expenditures, please hold off until the Mariathon is completed. Actually, if you want to get a jump start on the Mariathon, you may do so today. You can dial 888-408-0201. That's calling 888-408-0201. That's Radio Maria. You can also go to radiomaria.us and just click on the Donate tab. And again, we're going to try to do our part here at the School of Mary. And anyone making a donation today or in the archives, if you're listening to this program there, who makes a donation will receive a Luisa Picanetta relic prayer card, which includes and has and contains a piece of Luisa's clothing. Again, a spectacular prayer card that will be given as a gift for anyone, to anyone making a donation to Radio Maria, this worthwhile cause, again, on behalf of under the patronage of Our Lady. Can you imagine that? Everything's under the patronage of Our Lady. Our Lord was protected in the womb of Our Lady. Our Lady protects Radio Maria and hopefully protects the School of Mary. I know she's been protecting Mother Gabriel and the sisters for all this time, and she's going to continue doing that as well because they're faithful. Let's go back to Tennessee. I'm so used to saying let's go back to Italy. Let's go back to Maryville, Tennessee, speaking of Mary. Hello, Mother.
Yeah. So now I'll turn it over to Sister Jacinta. Okay.
Sister Jacinta.
Yeah. So speaking of like being like childlike and just speaking of being childlike, it really reminds me of Saint John the Apostle. Like when I was reading Valtorta earlier today, I read the part where like Jesus and Saint John, it was just them two together in the nighttime, and John was like resting his like arms on Jesus, and he was just like acting very childlike to him, and just confiding his heart to him. And I thought it was really beautiful because that's an image of each of our souls. Like Jesus wants us to just find all our rest in him, to open our hearts to him, to confide ourselves to him, and to even to follow him in good times and in bad times, like because Saint John the Apostle did. Like he followed Jesus like to the cross, and
I think you may have muted for some reason, sister. You know, that reminds me of something really quickly. It reminds me of, you know, we all can appreciate and we can all have fun while expressing our love to our blessed Lord. Like, for example, today's the feast of St. Bridget of Ireland, or sometimes known as St. Bridget of Kildare. I love what she said. She said one of the things, beautiful things she said. She says, quote, "I should like a great lake of ale for the King of Kings. I should like the family of heaven to be drinking it through time eternal," end quote. I mean, get it? Lake of Ale, Lake of Beer, Ireland. I mean, it's a little bit innuendo toward herself. You know, the Irish are known for the beer, but I think the Italians even drink more beer than the Irish, but don't get credit for it. But it's just amazing how we can all present this happiness. God is also, he's not a stiff God. God is not rigid and wanting to see frowns. And he likes when we rejoice. He is the ultimate rejoice and the ultimate reason for rejoicing. So again, we can have fun. St. John did it. Our Blessed Mother did it in her own way. We can all do it in our own way also, which is so beautiful. Nobody has a monopoly on having fun or being amused. So back to you, sisters. Hopefully the microphone is working.
Yeah, so sorry, did you hear what I said earlier about...
if we did, I'd love you to repeat it.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. So yeah, I was saying like about like how... thinking about being like childlike in the divine will, how Jesus says like we must be like little children in the kingdom of the divine will, because once we get too complicated and like and like try to complicate the divine world, and that's when where it's harder for us to understand it. Like when Jesus says in the Gospels, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. We shouldn't think of like, oh, only people with lots of money will have a hard time to get into heaven, but also people with a lot of like spiritual pride will also have a hard time getting into heaven. So that's why it's really important to also like just empty ourselves of that. And as Mother was saying, like realizing our nothing at our nothingness, and the more we look at the cross of Jesus, then the more we can carry our crosses with him along the journey and never abandoning him, even to the cross, like St. John the Apostle.
Sister, I want to stop you right there, because what you said was very, very important. Because basically you were saying, you know, it's wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So it's not just when Jesus speaks, he's speaking for all. He's not just speaking for a small group. But I love the way you made that delineation. Thank you.
Yeah, so I like to read a little from Volume 32, August 13th, 1933. Where Jesus talks about how he's a divine painter and our souls are the canvases. So when I was reading this, it also reminded me of what Mother said earlier in this program about how important it is to be resigned to the cross, and connecting it with this passage about the cross. It really reminds us of how if we accept all these sufferings and inconveniences and crosses in our lives with resignation out of love for Jesus, then the canvas of our souls will become smooth. So Jesus, the divine painter, will be able to paint in our souls. So Jesus tells us through Louisa, by living together with my volition, the soul becomes refined, embellished, and in our creative hands becomes like suitable canvas in the hands of the painter, that however more beautiful, more fine is the canvas, so much more beautiful becomes the image that he wants to paint on that canvas. So the more we accept everything with resignation out of love for Jesus, just living everything in the present moment, then the more smooth the canvas of our souls will be. So Jesus can paint our divine image in him, and we can paint our image in his heart. And then continuing on with another part of this passage. Now my will is more than divine painter, and it never tires of giving new beauty, sanctity, and new science, and it remains waiting for an act done together with it in order to enrich it, in order to make itself known even more, and to make use of its divine brushes in order to elevate her to such height and rare beauty as to make her be admired by who knows how many generations in a way that all will call her beautiful. So the more we live in the divine will, the more we become more like Jesus and Mary, because they lived in the kingdom of the divine will totally and perfectly. And the more we do these acts and rounds and accept our sufferings, the more we allow Jesus to paint his divine image within our souls. And as Mother was and the sisters were saying earlier, it's so important to be attentive and to just see the opportunities Jesus wants to give us. Like what Sister Gloria was saying earlier, Jesus asked Louisa to be a victim soul when she was only 16. So with God, it's not age, it's really our positioning in the Lord. And God is just waiting for us to take, just for us to place our hand in his, to go with him wherever he wills.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister, for that.
Hello, it's good to be back.
Hello, sister. How are you?
Good, and you? Now I'm
wonderful.
I'm with this new outfit.
now give the radio audience your
yeah,
religious
so
name now.
My new name is Faustina, Sister Faustina.
Sister Faustina.
Yeah, thanks to God.
Oh, thanks be to God, right. Thank you.
Maria Faustina, yeah. So what everything my mother said and Sister Jacinta was saying about childish and be attentive, also it goes with trusting God. Like a kid, they never have like lack of confidence in their parents. Like they go by what their parents are telling them to do. Like they just give their heart completely to their parents and they trust that it's good for them. And this needs to be us too. We need to trust in God that everything that he tells us to do is not only for like to make us suffer or to make us be like crying and sad, but it's for our own good and our own benefit. And life is not all about sufferings only. It's just really suffering becomes love. And when you take it as love, you don't really feel the heaviness of the cross because now it's transformed into something easier to carry. And it's how Mother always says, it's not you who's carrying it. It's Jesus in you carrying it. And it's really helpful for us to always have this trust in him. And I was actually reading from volume 17, September 2nd, 1924, how much harm distrust causes in the soul. My love, this is Luisa, my love and my life, Jesus, how I fear that you might leave me. How shall I go on without you? How shall I be able to live? To what a deplorable state with my poor soul be reduced. What a harrowing pain is the thought that you might leave me. A pain that lacerates me, takes peace away from me, and puts hell into my heart. Jesus, have pity, compassion, mercy on me, a little child. I have no one. If you leave me, everything is over for me. And Jesus, resuming his speaking, added, my daughter, calm yourself, do not fear. Your Jesus does not leave you. I am jealous of your trust, and I do not want you to even slightly distrust me. See, I love so much that souls be with me in full trust, that many times I hide some defect or imperfection of theirs or some lack of correspondence to my grace so as not to give them any occasion to not be with me in full trust. In fact, if the soul loses trust, she remains as though separated from me and not huddled within herself. She places herself at due distance from me and remains paralyzed in her search of love, and therefore paralyzed in sacrificing herself for me. Oh, how much harm does this distrust cause? It can be said that it is like the spring frost that blocks the vegetation of the plants, and many times, if it is strong, frost can even make them die. In the same way, distrust blocks the development of virtues and puts freezing cold into the most ardent love. Oh, how many times, because of lack of trust, my designs and the greatest sanctities are blocked. This is why I tolerate some defects rather than distrust, because those can never be so harmful. And I always like how what Jacinta was saying about every reading, if you notice in the Book of Heaven, mostly of the times at the end, Jesus tells her, therefore be attentive. And that's our key word. To really abandon ourselves to live in the divine will, that trust in him, that attentiveness in him, because you put your ideas, your memories, your understanding, your intelligence all for him. So there's no other distractions that can come your way and separate yourself from him. And we are really called to this tremendous gift of living in the divine will, which means abandon yourself and really putting your heart in Jesus's heart and Our Lady's heart, and have Our Lady as a great example of how when she was asked to leave the temple and get married with Saint Joseph, she didn't even question. Like she just went along, and not only to follow the will of God, but to live in the will of God, which is really, really giving yourself and also giving up your own, like, I don't know how to say, but giving up your own like beliefs and your own ideas and your own things that you have within yourself. Because another reading also, Jesus is telling Luisa, people tend not to understand the divine will because they're not willing to give up that to God. They're still like holding into that, and that prevents the Holy Spirit to really pour out himself into you. So I really encourage you to really just don't be afraid. Like whenever you give much to him, if you give to him, he's going to recompense even greater. When I was in my home visit, I was reading a magazine about a nun who was giving like a testimony of her life. And it was beautiful because she said that when she, before she entered religious community, she her desire was to sew wedding dresses for people, for like new people getting married. And she was afraid to giving that up. But when she becomes a religious, the superior put her in charge of sewing like a seamstress. And she figured out that now she's making wedding dresses for bridegrooms for Christ, which is even greater than what she was desiring before. So I understood that your desires, when you give your life to God, they don't disappear because it's Jesus' own desires in your heart. So we just need to trust that he knows the best and that he always wants the best for us.
Amen. And that volume you're talking about, Mother, just really quickly, it's from volume 36, where Jesus says, the divine will has two opposite effects. And I'm going to paraphrase really quickly to get the mother. He says, for those who are earnestly seeking the information, the knowledge, and the truths contained in the divine will, it'll be light and life. They'll receive what they're desiring. But for those who are looking to split hairs, who really don't have the desire to know it and to possess it, he says they'll be blinded. So that's how you can, 10 people can see the divine will, and maybe only one will recognize the magnificence of it. And the other nine will say, well, it's nice, but no, thank you. I mean, how can all 10 look at the same thing and yet one have a different response to, well, it's just based on the disposition, number one, and what God has in store for us. Because the time that's ready for some of us today, it may be the time for some others tomorrow. So again, never lose hope. Right, Mother?
You know, people sometimes question, well, you know, is this good? When I first started reading the divine will, I thought, you know, is this really of God? Is this really good? Is this of the church? And I judged that it was because I saw it bearing fruit in my life. You judge everything by the fruit. How do you know the divine will is a great gift from God? You begin to change. As you read it, as you live it, you're beginning to practice more virtue. You begin to love people more. You see Christ in each person. So you only can judge things by the fruit. There's some controversy out there in certain groups, in certain places. You know, Pope, I know Pope Benedict approved all his volumes in 97, I was told, by the Postulate of Luisa's Cause. Two other theologians in the Vatican approved them all. Now there says that ambiguities they need to straighten out. Our Lord told Luisa in the volumes that they will find no fault with these. If they do, it's their lack of understanding, not there's any fault in these volumes. But you can read them all. You can read them all. The church has no more index on what you can read and not read. So you go ahead and read it because, and you if it changes your life, if it bears fruit in your life, keep reading. If it doesn't, if it makes you upset, stop reading, you know, but you judge by the fruit. I was just reading in volume 6 here, April 9th, 1904. It says, one act of perfect resignation is enough for the soul to be purged of any involuntary imperfection. He told that to Luisa, and he says, and I will say to you the opposite of what you think. I will say to you how beautiful you are. I feel the fire of my love in you and the perfume of my fragrances. And you, with you, I want to make my perpetual dwelling. And then he disappeared from Luisa. And he goes on to say, my daughter, when it is about voluntary sin, then it takes sorrow. But when it is about imperfections, weaknesses, coldnesses, and the like, and the soul has added nothing of her own, then a perfect act of resignation is enough. And if needed, she is also purged of this state, because in doing this act, the soul first encounters my divine will, which purges her human will and embellishes it with its qualities, and then she identifies herself with me. One act of resignation, no matter how imperfect we've been all day long, one act of perfect resignation will clarify everything, will change everything. God is so generous. You know, he's a merciful, loving father. He holds nothing against us. Gloria wanted to say something here. Okay.
I mean, this is from volume 30, but I read it just before this program, and it really was beautiful. So I just wanted to share, you know, Luisa, she wanted to go to heaven so quickly, you know, to be with God. And this is what Jesus said to her. He said, since your Jesus wants to give you more and receive more from you, I permit the prolixity of life. And he also said,
So there is nothing greater, more important, more pleasing before us than a prolixious life lived in a saintly way. Each hour is already one more proof of love, of fidelity, of sacrifice that she has given us. And we count even the minutes so that not one of them may not be filled with graces and with our divine charisms. With a short, therefore, let me do, and I want you to be happy with what I do. And if you want to be happy, think that each hour of your life is a pledge of love that you give me. Each will serve to bind me to love you more. Aren't you happy? So every hour life, every moment, every hour, our life, you know, let it be the pledge of love. Let it be the proof of love, our fidelity to the Lord. Let it be the proof of sacrifice. And he's going to fill every moment of our life, what is divine life, with new graces, new beauties, and new glories. It's really like living in the divine world. It's just to recognize the paternity in our daughtership, our sonship to our Lord. He just wants us to be close to him. He wants to be close to us. He wants to clap us. He wants to put us in his knees, and he wants to live in his house, because he created us with so much love. And this is so beautiful. So I wanted to share.
And that's evident too, because Jesus says that the Father wants his paternity back. That's all he wants from us. And that's really easy to get back if we want to. Mother, we have a few more minutes, maybe you can close this out.
Okay, in volume 6, I was just reading September 17th, 1905, one who actually finds herself amid sufferings and is resigned, clings more tightly to me and does not offend me. It is as if she were saving me from the hands of Herod, keeping me safe and sound within the Egypt of her heart, and she participates in the second sorrow. One who feels downhearted, dry, and deprived of my presence and remains yet firm and faithful to her usual practices, even more, she takes the opportunity to love me and to search for me more without tiring, comes to participate in the merits and the goods which my mother acquired when I was lost. One who, in any circumstance she encounters, especially in seeing me gravely offended, despised, trampled upon, tries to repair me, to compensate me, to compassionate me, and to pray for the very ones who offend me. It is as if I encountered in that soul my own mother, who, if she could have done it, would have freed me from the enemies, and she participates in the fourth sorrow. So as we participate in all these little crosses God gives us, as we're resigned to them, we're alleviating his sufferings. And Louisa did that very much, always was sharing the suffering that Jesus was having to endure for souls being lost, souls being deprived of him. And that's what we do. We're continuing this redemptive suffering. We must be willing to accept whatever God allows in our lives, realizing he's making us greater and greater saints at each opportunity of the cross that he gives us.
And that's so true, Mother. And also, I think that it's through grace alone that we can understand these prophetic truths that are being divulged to us by our Lord, by our Lady. And I think again, we're talking, if our earnest desire is to understand this gift, is to recognize this gift, is to possess this gift, he's going to give us the grace when we need it to come to that understanding. Again, In his time, it may not be immediate. It may take us a few days, may take us a few years. It may take 60 years. We don't know. We really shouldn't be too concerned about how long it takes, right, mothers? As long as we're on the highway, because Jesus says, I think it's in volume 12, that when the chastisements come, that he will protect those journeying in the divine will and the places where those souls reside, which I have to believe he's inferring to our families, our loved ones, those we want protected as well. So yeah, I'm not saying it do it for that reason, but again, God has to keep those alive who are bringing back to humanity what he began in the beginning. It just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and sometimes he wants us to grow in patience. So we pray for the grace, and we don't see it happening at the moment. The grace is the cross. He's letting it linger in the cross longer for a greater grace, for a greater opportunity of showing your love to him and giving your fiat and willing to suffer more. One of the sisters was talking about Emily Rose yesterday, this girl that was possessed in Germany. Our Lady appeared to her and asked her if she would offer her life as a victim. And the victimhood was she was possessed. And she, at the end of her life, a lady appeared and said again and said, are you willing to suffer a little more? She suffered a little more. They were going to make a shrine of her in Germany. So she's really considered like, she hadn't been canonized, but she was a very holy person that was willing to be possessed in order to give her life, her suffering and her cross to the Lord. So, to just help other souls. So, you know, we have to realize we don't suffer as much as she did. You know, the little sufferings God gives us, we must be very grateful for them and be resigned to them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And last but not least, the ambiguity that you spoke about, that the Archbishop spoke about, I take that as a very bold compliment. Because if we think about it, Mother, the typical edition has already been generated by the Vatican. That's where they would divulge and find any errors. There have been no errors found. The Son of My Will, the biography of Louisa, that would never be published if there were any questions about the validity of Louisa Picaretta. So this critical edition now that we're waiting, if they're telling us that there's ambiguities, it just means that this is something so spectacular. This explication of everything that's been given to us is so powerful that at this moment, the church can understand it, cannot understand it. And that's a great thing, because in time through grace, they will. And when they do, the whole world will be changed.
That's because it's such deep knowledges. That's why it needs to be, understood in a very deep way. It's simple, but deep and profound.
Right. And that takes grace. Yeah. Thanks be to God, Mother. Thanks be to the Radio Maria for this opportunity. And God willing, we'll be back next week. Don't forget the Mariathon coming up at the end of this month. Ciao.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.